Hello everyone, it is Scalalas podcast special special from Minsk, from F-Funkby. Today is 17th of December 2017. And our guest is John Preti, speaker of this conference. John, hello.
Hello.
Tell us about yourself.
So I'm a Scala developer. I've been working with Scala for, I think, 13 years now. And I do a lot of work with open source software. I have several libraries, which I think I'll tell you about later. At the moment, I am working mainly on my open source projects. And I'm involved with various events like conferences. I ran my own conference in the UK the last few years, and I attend a lot of conferences around the world. So a lot of people know me from various Scala events globally.
Like Scala World?
Like Scala World, we had an event in the Lake District, which is quite a remote location in the UK. And we had hiking and mountain biking, canoeing, followed by 2 days of quite intense Scala talks.
I heard this Scala World that passed in this year was last one, or you will take pause.
We've had three years of Scala World, and 2018, I will have a year off. I need a break after doing it for 3 years because it takes quite a significant chunk out of my year to prepare and get the conference ready. But at the moment, I think 2019, we will have another one. So less than 2 years from now, I'm hoping it'll be back on the calendar.
Okay. Tell me, what do you think the worst thing in Scala?
The worst thing in Scala, not the best thing. Okay, the worst thing I think is sometimes the way Scala is used at large scale. Large scale in terms of number of developers trying to very quickly work together in a way. Ideally, and I was just at a conference in London a couple of days ago, Runar Bjarnason gave a talk on composability. And the composability of the components of a large project is something that Scala hasn't, or Scala developers, shall we say, haven't got working as well with large software projects as with typically smaller open source projects. It seems that it's quite a challenge for a team, particularly one that is made up of a number of people with different degrees of capability in Scala. You have a few experts and a few people who are maybe coming from Java. Trying to work together coherently in ways that trying to work together with not having code that is too difficult for the more, let's say, junior developers to understand, whilst still allowing the more advanced developers to do the sort of type level perhaps, or the highly functional things they would like to do, and there is a bit of friction, and it's a challenge as compared to, first of all, to languages like Java, say, where there isn't such a depth of language. You can know the you can understand the full extent of Java within, let's say, a good programmer can learn Java quite well, the language, within a year of starting. And further understanding from Java tends to come in the form of understanding libraries and understanding how they work together and frameworks and so on. With Scala, you find you're still learning the language 5 or maybe 10 years into it. I still think I'm learning new things in Scala that I There are still corners that I haven't explored fully, and I fully expect to be continuing to learn new things. And when you have people who are all at different stages along that curve, it's a challenge to get them to work together coherently. And in large projects, this becomes more apparent. In open source, things tend to move with a different dynamic. There aren't the same... In the open source community, there aren't really the same pressures as you get in a commercial environment. And I think that's maybe why it becomes more challenging in large companies. But you asked me for the worst thing about Scala. This is Scala, which I think is a much superior language to something like Java. I just think that the benefits of Scala over Java are much more apparent than they are in smaller projects, in largely open source projects, than they are in very large projects. So Scala becomes less beneficial. I think it's still a benefit, but it's less beneficial at the large scale. That would be the worst thing about Scala if I had to choose something.
Okay, maybe. Do you think Scala developer usually should stop on some stair of stairs of the language?
Should they stop? No, I think from a developer's point of view, you always want to be learning. You need to keep being excited by new things, new things that you couldn't do before. If you decide to stop, then the whole idea of working becomes less exciting. But what I would say is that there are certain if you are working with other people, you should decide what level you're working at. You should decide what sorts of things you want to require users of your code to understand. Users, by which I mean other developers who are using it, or people who are using APIs that you produce. Decide what they need to understand in order to use it. If you decide, for example, that your users need to understand complicated type machinery, they need to understand existentials or path-dependent types, just in order to use your an API you've written, then you're limiting you're either limiting the number of people who will ever want to use that or be able to use it, or you're making life harder for people. Assuming, of course, that it is possible to do whatever you want to do with a more limited subset of Scala, without compromises. And there are different libraries, at least the open source libraries, different libraries will choose different approaches to this. In a commercial organization, this can often be imposed. You can say that, well, we don't... I know some companies will say we don't want to use implicits, no implicits. Now, this vastly constrains the usefulness of the language, I think. So I wouldn't recommend that necessarily. But you could produce more fine-grained controls that allow junior developers to work in a way that doesn't require them to understand the depths of the type system.
Okay, opposite question. What the best thing in Scala?
Oh, the best thing. Okay, I'm glad you asked this rather than just the worst. The best thing I would say is the mix of the robustness of having a strong statically typed system in which you work, with the flexibility of Scala's syntax. You can write code that looks more like something from a dynamic language, from Ruby, say, but it is all entirely statically typed. You get all those benefits of strong types, the constraints on what you can do, even very complicated things like dependent types. A lot of the work I do involves dependent types, which I'd have to say, like, very, very small number of Scala developers will be writing code that expects dependent types. But for users of that code, they can continue to use it without necessarily being fully aware that dependent types are there. They can write code that looks very very readable, very expressive in explaining the the syntax gives you the ability to write code that is quite close to the model or the domain you're working in. That can all be underpinned by complicated types, but most of the time you don't see them. And I find that as a programmer, if you're doing that, you gain, first of all, confidence from the code being expressive and readable, but also confidence that it's doing the right thing. And as a programmer, you don't want to be doubting any part of the language, doubting that the translation of the source code you see into bytecode will result in runtime exceptions. That will make you worry more about the code you're writing. Have to think more about it. You can write code and, to a large extent, trust that the compiler is going to do the right thing. Of course, there will be times when you, depending on what you're doing, when you'll get runtime exceptions. But the compiler goes much further than using Java as a counterexample again, much further than Java in preventing you from writing code which the compiler could reasonably work out, or some sort of analysis could reasonably work out, would fail. The Scala compiler is very good at representing the differences between possible states and impossible states, and only allowing you to compile the possible ones.
Okay, thank you. And next question is, every conference you meet, I mean the conference, this conference, Minsk FBIU, talk about your library that you develop in the months or before, or maybe 2 months before. Tell us about your latest open source projects.
Okay, so I'm partly known for producing quite a large number of libraries, and I often use a conference talk as an excuse to present some new project I've worked on. Today I presented a library called Impromptu. This is started off sort of as an experiment with dependent types and the ability to represent a graph, not only at the in terms of runtime values, but also at the type level. So it's a type level representation of a graph, and in particular a graph that is used for representing asynchronous computations. So I use the example of a very, very trivial interactive version of grep that we could implement with where we read input from standard input, we read a file name from standard input, then we read a search string from standard input, and at the same time as we're reading the search string from standard input, we're reading the file that we just typed in from the disk. And the key point is those two things can be done in parallel. And then once we've got the contents of the file and we've got the search string, we check that one contains the other, and then return a Boolean, true or false, whether it contains it. So it's, like I say, it's a toy example, but it is the simple example I could come up with which has some parallelism. And I explored some different ways that we could represent this using futures in Scala. And the thing that Impromptu does is that it uses dependent types. It uses a type level representation of the graph, using some reasonably advanced features, like I say, dependent types, singleton types, and intersection types. And I won't talk about them in any more detail now, but you can look these things up on the web and find out more about them. And what is quite nice about it is that the whole library, which provides functionality similar to task in Scala Z. It only takes 30 lines of code for the whole thing. I was able to fit the entire library on one slide. And it's fully functional, and it means that when you write code using this, it becomes impossible to access the incompleted value of a future, effectively. With futures in Scala, typically there are methods available which will allow you to access the result of the computation, which will fail, which will throw a runtime exception. With Impromptu, it will use the type system to enforce the constraints that make that impossible, and therefore, if your code compiles, you can guarantee that there won't be any unsafe access of uncompleted futures.
Okay, thank you. And last one question. How do you like the conference?
The conference is fantastic. That's why I came back a second year. The venue is really, really cozy and
cold.
No, it's not. Well, no, so Minsk is cold, I would say. Belarus is cold. Winter is cold. But the conference venue is a nice environment with very friendly people, and it's sort of a bit. What I will say is it's quite misleading as you're approaching from the outside. It's you sort of walking through cold snow to a building that's not at all obvious that it's a conference venue. But once you're inside it, it's fantastic. There's a nice space where the stage is very close to the audience, and the interactions tend to be very the talks tend to be very interactive and friendly, and I just enjoy that sort of environment for having conferences.
Okay, thank you, John. It was a great interview.
Thank you very much.